Welcome to the Laughing Heart production of Inside Out, where love and thought get it on. Inside Out is brought to you by Strider Entertainment, where vignettes, characters, poetry, conscious conversation, and music are brought into play to make principles for spiritual living come alive and become more accessible. I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider.
Oh, he knows who he is. We have dedicated our lives, our relationship, and our artistic expression to exploring and actualizing love. Navigating the sometimes turbulent waters of marital relationship, working together, and raising a family as our laboratory. And if you are a person on the grow, we invite you to take this journey with us. Tonight's show is coming to you live from Fairfax, California, 40 minutes northwest of San Francisco in Redwood Country.
Redwood Country.
Tonight we are going to explore the nature of delusion and how it accompanies addiction. Also, we may probe into the difference between delusion and denial. When we are deluded, we are in a misleading frame of mind, a game of pretend. We veer from the truth about ourselves because we have judged that truth as unacceptable. We create a false persona and then try to fill it with life. Since it is untrue, it constantly fails us. We use symbols and symptoms of that pretense and do our best to fill it with the correct language and behavior to convince ourselves that we are this delusion. The problem with deluded thinking is the more we encourage it, the further we get from our truth. On the highest level, our truth has no definition. It is played out in the arena of love, and we experience the attributes of love as peace, joy, connectedness, non-resistance, and unlimited creativity. But take away delusion at any level of consciousness, and our reality is played out in our relationships. When the delusional self is removed, we grow from all our encounters with each other. Every single interaction we have with life is an opportunity to grow ourselves, so says Errol Strider in his text messages from God. We are able to be open to clues that are given to us from each other and then able to use these clues to engage as fully as possible. Like innocent children put into a social environment, though not cognitive, learning is taking place with every encounter. The individual child's consciousness is expanding. In that innocence, free from delusion, we give who we are and receive from others and situations the nourishment that enables us to grow. If we, as children, are put into painful, frightening environments, the need to protect ourselves from the pain begins to lay the seeds of delusion. At the beginning, the mind may assess the damage and dangers of deluded thinking and behavior. Well, it's just a drink to make me relax. One won't hurt me. I'm tense. I need food. I need anything to relax it. The delusion seems to be protecting us. And so, as long as we believe it's protecting us, we keep feeding it, and it keeps growing.
Can you say more about that?
I thought I did it in a nutshell there, but okay.
Well, open the nut, get in there, start digging away, and let's have how the delusion might relate to you. I'm going to speak directly to our listeners tonight. Welcome, this is Errol. I try not to be deluded in that, but sometimes I am. Sometimes I live out of delusion. And
well, sometimes we are deluded because our ideals are so much further away from who we are that we don't want to just be who we are. We want to be the ideals. And so we delude ourselves into thinking we're more than we are, which in some strange way, who we are is more than enough.
Well, I just want to acknowledge also posterity, because this is July 17th, 2011, and we are here fumbling our way into some level of wakefulness, awareness, the ability to respond with care. That would be a nice thing to say to somebody when you're tempted to tell them, be careful. You might say something like, oh, remember to retain your ability to respond with care.
Well, that's a long sentence.
It is kind of long.
But it's okay, because that's what it means.
Well, for me, it's about waking up moment by moment by moment, and been so possessed by delusions of grandeur, for one thing. Oh, my goodness. Matter of fact, it's amazing to follow the continuum of how you can watch oneself go from delusions of grandeur all the way down to seeing oneself as the most pitiful, insignificant, pathetic.
So delusions of patheticism.
Yeah, patheticism. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the biggest delusions, I'd have to say, is a related word, which is duality. And that's kind of at the basis for delusions, is the sense that we have a separate self that somehow we have to mock up into some kind of contrived image that we think will be successful in surviving and getting whatever positive feedback we want from reality, or at least to mitigate all the negative feedback we may be getting in the form of abuse, etc., that we concoct these selves that run off into deliriums of misbegotten dreams and forsaken sense of ourselves, all that.
Well, in a media-infused society in which pictures are coming at you all the time, word pictures and visual pictures that depict the perfect person, the perfect beautiful person, the whatever kind of person, they project an image of a human being. And very few people can live up to that image. I mean, that image, you know, take our supermodels who all look like slightly developed toothpicks.
Toothpicks with little curves.
Yes, curvaceous toothpicks.
Curvaceous toothpicks.
The percentage of people that look like that on the planet is less than, very less than 1/100 of 1% probably. And yet, that's the model that's put out. And I remember there was a group of kids that came together to have a conversation. It's called what?
A conversation group.
It was on television. And it was a group of teenagers. They were all between the ages of 13 and 15, and they all were quite beautiful. And each one was asked if they, looking at this picture of this model, if they thought they were beautiful. And not one of them thought they were beautiful. They all thought they were too heavy. Their noses weren't right, or their cheekbones weren't right, or the color of their hair wasn't right, or the straightness of their hair wasn't right, or the, whatever. They were not okay. And the moderator of this discussion said to them, look at yourselves. You're beautiful young women. How could you possibly walk around with an image of yourselves as being less than that? And one girl stood up and she said very plainly, well, I don't look like that. And she pointed to the picture of this model. And she said, unless I look like that, I don't experience myself as beautiful.
You're lucky in life if you can have those images shattered.
Your reflection in your house.
And thank you, Dolly Parton. Shattered image. I think there was a lot in that. Don't throw rocks at my image and shatter my image until you're willing to own your own. We got started on this subject, delusion, because we were thinking of some people that we know, and we said, you know, I think this person is deluded. You know who you are out there. I know you know, and we're not going to name your name, Jebediah, but you know who you are.
Jebediah. I'm not going to say someone is deluded, because if I say it to them, the interesting thing about being deluded is that it comes with a denial of deluded.
So they go together, deluded and the denial.
One who is deluded does not seem to know they're deluded. It takes a wake-up call. And I think the wake-up call is to see oneself naked and to appreciate your own nakedness, stripped of all those illusions, so that you are no longer deluded.
Well, I want to go back and ask the guy that said that, what I just said. You know, what gives you the right to stand in judgment and say that this person or that person or Jebediah is deluded? I mean, who are you, I'm talking to myself, of course, to make an assessment and a judgment like that? Why would you even make that unless there's some part of you that needs to feel special and right and better than by standing outside of somebody else and making a statement like that? Now, the other part of me says, well, just a minute, I need to defend myself from that accusation.
Go for it there, okay. The prosecutor and the defense attorney.
This is me defending myself from that accusation of who the hell am I to sit there and judge. Well, I was just thinking about this person that we know, and I was just observing that he consistently walks down paths and jumps off cliffs that predictably end up on the ground, crashed. But there's always this sense that it's not going to happen this time. And I got to thinking, well, that's kind of like being deluded, isn't it? And then I didn't stop there. I said, okay, in what ways have I been deluded? In what ways I have deluded myself? Well, you'd think I just was throwing a free party with lots of food. I had characters from my past stand in line, like a long line, to tell me all the ways in which I have deluded myself. I had so many people who were so willing to be witnesses for the prosecution to prove and show me how deluded I have been. So I do live in a glass house, and so that's why I'm not throwing the first stone.
I find it interesting when I speak about if you know you're deluded, then you've moved out of a state of delusion.
Yes.
I mean, I really do believe that's the first step to leaving the state of delusion, is to realize that you have been deluding yourself. And I don't think it's what you do that's delusional. I think it's that you experience the same thing from what you do over and over and over again. In other words, you could keep throwing a ball out a window to find out about its bounce. But what are you learning from that bounce? You want to learn to make the ball bounce higher.
No, you want to be able to extrapolate if the ball makes that kind of a bounce. If you go off the building, how much bounce will you make?
And so you've worked out this. That's delusional.
That's right.
To think that you could bounce like a ball.
Well, you worked out this exotic theory of how many balls are contained in the volume that is you.
Do you put them all in your pocket when you throw yourself off the roof?
Well, you can
leave
the balls. You don't have to take the balls at that point.
Yeah, but the balls bounce if they're all on you. Maybe you'll bounce.
You know, I hadn't thought of that. But I want to go back to an aspect of delusional projection or delusional perspective. What I realize is that it has an expectation that if you do this, this will happen. And it's a delusional in the sense that they don't even go together in the same sentence, this before and after, this cause and effect. And they never will, because the thing isn't set up to go that way, and that's delusional. Is that too abstract?
I don't know if it's too abstract. I sort of got it.
Well, how would you explain it in more not-so-abstract words?
Well, you're going after something that's a delusion. You once said something very interesting. You said that a comic, you don't go for the laugh. The situation, everything, the timing and everything will produce the laugh if it's done correctly. But if you go for the laugh, the chances are you're going to fail.
You have an equal chance, at
right.
least.
Right, and the same thing is true with applause. You know, you don't go for the applause. You work to be congruent with your intention, And if you do that successfully, the applause will come or not. But when you go for the applause and you go for the result all the time, I think that feeds delusional behavior, because you're always looking like, what's the best way to get that result, rather than being true to yourself and allowing yourself to do what is right for you to do and allow the result to come from that.
Boy, did you follow that, listeners? I was working. I hope you're working as hard as I was to try and comprehend that.
Let me just figure one abstract thought deserves another.
One abstract thought deserves another. Let me identify ourselves. We are delusional Errol and Rochelle Strider. But once in a while, we step out of our delusion and we recognize who we are, that we are, in fact, just people being simple and doing this show Insight Out every week, so that those of you who are listening can go on this journey of exploration, discovery, and be surprised. I think that's one of the main things that I look forward to when we come to this program together. I look forward to being surprised. I love being taken by surprise, especially if the surprise is seeing things from a new perspective, having a more expanded view, having a laugh where before I was taking myself seriously, and just getting down to what is really simple and basic. That's a big part of what this process is for me. How about you, Rochelle?
Can you explain simple and basic?
Well,
humans are, I think we're very complex, and when people say, well, I'm just a simple person.
Let's see if this might help us understand what that does mean. A Simple Man, sung by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Did you hear me?
Lynyrd Skynyrd. How do you spell that?
Lynyrd Skynyrd. Or Skynyrd. Skynyrd. I love that name.
Skynyrd?
I don't know. If you know, let us know. This is Earl Strider, and you can always reach us by contacting us at eststrider@gmail.com. As a matter of fact, if you send email to me right now, I will take a look, and you have a question or a comment, eststrider@gmail.com. I'm going to bring it up. I'd love to see a little note from you. And you can see more of what we do and experience the range of our interests and the variety and ways we like to play with these ideas theatrically, poetically, musically. We have videos. We have many of these radio programs. Go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org. I love being at .org.
I love you being at...
They don't make the .orgs the way they used to when I started off. Now the .orgs are like, I don't know. They're lamer.
When you speak of a simple person, I'm translating that into an authentic person. Because we're so complex in many ways, and the word simple sometimes belies our complexity, which is to me is grand and beautiful and wonderful. But authentic, what does it mean to be authentic? Look at little children, and they're all different, and they're all authentic.
Okay, let's take a look at that question, because I think it's a really good question. As I think about this person that I go into judgment, I understand it's audacious of me, but please forgive me, and I say this person I perceive as delusional. Now, I also think of them as very authentic. So that's really interesting to me that I see this person as authentic. As a matter of fact, I am totally charmed by this person as an individual and dearly love this person. But I see how I myself have in the past projected expectations that if I do this, then this is going to happen. It's that definition of insanity that has often been quoted, whether you agree with it or not. If you continue to do the same thing, expecting different results, well, maybe it's not insane, but it certainly seems to be delusional.
Well, in putting it into that delusional sense, the deluded self goes round and round playing out the same pretense and the same results. In other words, you already set up the results because the pretense, as if it's a play.
What do you mean by pretense?
Well, that's what a delusion is. It's a pretense. You're pretending to be something that you're not, and you're not only pretending to be something that you're not, but you also extend it to the situation. Like you pretend this situation is the situation that you're in when it's not at all. You've given it all its coloration and form when it's not really like that at all.
It really isn't. From someone else's point of view, I wonder if there's something about each of us that is delusional. It's like each of us has our own little pet delusion that we pretend that if this reality is this way, then that reality is going to be that way. And there's no correlation between the two. Maybe it's an escape valve to go kind of insane, partially delusional, so that we don't feel like we're stuck in cause and effect that aren't bringing us the effect of the cause that we would like to command into place. That made no sense.
No, it did make sense. I was just trying to follow it in terms of the words that you were using.
Well, it's one of those sentences I got into it. It's like a whole bunch of words like wanted to be part of the sentence.
Well, they worked. So feel good about it.
Okay, you guys are cool. Very cool. You guys worked in the sentence. That'd be cool. I like it. They're happy.
I was talking to our daughter-in-law the other day, and we were talking about how we can delude ourselves into thinking certain things. Like, for instance, childbirth is a very intense experience, and we very quickly pretend that it never happened. When we have our child, we don't think about the experience of having the child. In fact, I remember having our second child thinking he was going to be 3 years old when he came out, just like the three-year-old child we already had.
Really? Talk about deluded.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because the reality of dealing with the infancy and the experience of childbirth and everything is very intense. And if we didn't delude ourselves, or maybe that's denial.
No, I like it. What's starting to happen for me here is I'm starting to respect delusion and see if it's got a perfect place for it, that it just kind of softens life. Maybe if you have the ability to delude yourself, then we shouldn't be in such a hurry to take it away from you, because it's good. It makes things maybe softer.
Maybe delusion is like sleeping on memory foam.
I love that.
You know, it doesn't bounce. It doesn't move. You don't know if anybody else is in bed with you because you don't feel them.
It could be. So there are both these sides of it. But one of the things that I think is important, that if you can, and because we've talked about this before, you really have to be sincere, ideally, because that sincerity is the key to the authentic moment, is to be, well, honestly sincere.
You gotta be sincere. You gotta be sincere. You gotta feel it here, 'cause if you feel it here, well, then you're gonna be honestly sincere. If what you feel is true, really feel it, you make them feel it too. Write this down now, you gotta be sincere, honestly sincere. Man, you gotta be sincere. If you're really sincere, if you're really sincere, if you feel it in here, then it's gotta be right, oh baby. Oh honey, hug me, suffer. In everything I do, my sincerity shows through. I look you in the eye, don't even have to try. It's automatic, I'm sincere. When I sing about a tree, I really feel that tree. When I sing about a girl, I really feel that girl. I mean, I really feel. Sincere, if you're feeling in here, then it's gotta be right, oh baby. Oh honey, hug me, suffer. You gotta be sincere.
That was a fun song.
Honestly Sincere. It's a song from Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, wow.
Which, incidentally, for those of you who don't know, Bye Bye Birdie was the first musical, I think, that I ever did. That wasn't an original musical. I did it in college, and I played the birdie, and it was great. I got to flit around this. I just made that up.
What do you mean?
No, Bye Bye Birdie is a musical about this rock star comes to this town, and he's going to have this one last kiss. I think there's a song, One Last Kiss. Anne Margaret played the part in the
who
movie.
Who sang this song?
The guy who played that part in Bye Bye Birdie. I don't know who the actor is. But go to the original soundtrack. Dick Van Dyke did it on Broadway, and it's a fun show, and I think the song really kind of sums it up. Here's the value of being sincere, and let's go back and look at what we're discussing tonight, which is the relative merit, value, and the dynamics of what it is to be disillusioned.
No, not disillusioned, deluded.
Oh, that's right. You see.
Disillusioned is a totally different thing.
That's right. I got that. I realize I've kind of been deluding myself when I went to this fair today locally, and sometimes at these fairs you have chiropractors who will give you a free spinal exam, and You don't want to ever do that, by the way, because I can promise you it's only going to be bad news.
Who walks around with a great spine?
There's going to be something wrong with your spine. And this guy, it was great because he had this electronic thing, and it showed in my spine that the normal spine, there's this nice black line that goes across the back of your spine horizontally. It's about 2 inches. On my spine, it was red, and it went out 3 feet. And every vertebra, and vertebra I didn't even know I had, were sending out these red things. And the guy told me, he said, "You are deluded, man, if you think you're in good shape, because look at these lines." And he was telling me, "Your neck doesn't have 30% of its full turning." And here I thought I was a full-turning neck kind of guy. And there I was, deluded.
Always known you weren't a 100% neck-turning guy.
Well, I didn't think I was like only 30% of it to the right and to the left. Oh, my God, 45%. Talk about deluded. I had no idea.
Well, so what are the merits of delusion? We talked about some of them. Sometimes we softly delude ourselves into thinking certain things to make life bearable. It was interesting that when my mom was in her 90s, I would go to visit her and I'd show her pictures of herself and her girlhood friends. And sometimes she would see herself in the pictures and other times she didn't. These pictures of her when she was 20-something. Then one day she looked at the picture of herself and I said, "You know who that is?" And she looked and she looked and she says, "Is that me?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I was really pretty." And then she stopped and she said, "I didn't think so at the time." And I thought, how sad that she deluded herself into believing that she wasn't pretty and that she wasn't acceptable looking, that she had to pretend that she was okay because her reality was that she was totally unacceptable.
So there's the dark side of delusion, which would be, if not more painful, more injurious, more damaging to our psyches and our souls. When we buy into a delusion that's projected onto us about ways in which we don't live up to how we should appear or be or what we should do, and so we buy into and are deluded by a false sense of self, and unfortunately a self that we judge very harshly.
And our show is about sort of lifting the lid on these insights that we have and seeing how we can work with them to become more conscious, more aware, to grow more imageless, to move out of delusion, to move out of illusion, to move out of any sense of self other than that sense that we are one with that mystery. And therefore, we don't need to define ourselves. We can just be. And that's a hard journey. It's not an easy journey, but it's certainly where we're going.
I'd like to hear from a different point of view. And again, I'm reminding you, this is Inside Out, and you can get a hold of us by going to thelaughingheart.org. And in the meantime, I am going to check my Gmail to see if anybody here has sent me a note. Ooh, I'm excited. Let's see my inbox, eastrider@gmail.com. Nope, where are you? Come
now,
on.
Did you get disappointed?
Yeah, I did. I got disappointed. Can I tell you? But I would like to get a different perspective tonight. So we've invited a couple people onto our show that we've had on before, and they really do bring a different perspective. Perspective from, well, another continent, if you will, or at least an island nearby that continent, and that's Lord and Lady Umbridge, who have stopped into San Francisco, and we've invited them on the program. Welcome, Lady Umbridge. I'm so glad you're here. Lord Umbridge, we'd like to know what your thoughts are about our subject of delusion. Lady Umbridge, have you given that any thought?
Oh, yes. I have thought about it for years and years, ever since I realized I was an Englishwoman. Well, quite a deluded race, I must say. Okay, you know, at one time, the sun never set on the British Empire, and everywhere we went, we really believed that we were lords over all the others that we had taken over, all the countries that we conquered. We felt that we were better than any skin color other than our color. To me, that's rather delusional thinking, I think, in the sense that one thinks that they are better than others for whatever reason you make up. Even the fact that you might have a bigger gun and can shoot more people or a larger navy or whatever. but Americans are also delusional in that sense, that you're so much better than other people. Well, you might have more technology, and you might have more money, and you might have more other things, but better than another human being just because you are this thing, that's delusional.
I quite agree, Lady Umbridge. I think Americans are awfully delusional, and they seem to have gotten more delusional with the more success they feel like they've attained. And, you know, they have this delusion that somehow they're not responsible for others, or they feel so responsible they feel they have to police the entire world. But it isn't really policing the world. It's projecting an image of policing the world so they can go gather up the world's stuff and not have to pay very much. The Americans are always trying to get things on sale.
Oh, well, Lord Umbridge, I think just about every Western mentality is trying to get something for nothing, which is the same thing almost as getting something on sale.
Well, that's probably the biggest delusion, my dear, that we undertake to undergo, is the delusion that you can get something for nothing. But what goes unexamined is what is the something and what is the nothing. In other words, if there is some kind of basic exchange in life, and you have to give something in order to receive something, and if there is all of it is really all connected, and it's all just one mushy thing, I'm talking about the universe, of course, and if it's all just one big globular protoplasmic consciousness activating itself in diverse forms, then what is the exchange actually about, my dear? What is actually goes from here, giving something, and that's expecting something back, but if I haven't give nothing, then nothing returns.
Well, in that case, Lord Umbridge, it's like breathing in and breathing out. Take a breath, and then you have to let it out, otherwise you would expire. The same way if you take in a breath and you don't let it out, you will expire. But also, you know, it's not a big mush, you know. You take a spot of water and you put it under a microscope, and there's a whole bunch of things in that little thing of water, all coming together to create that little water. So if the universe is like that little tiny little piece of water comprised of all these things that make up the universe.
Yes, but the thing we tend to forget about the water, my dear, is that when the storms of life are pounding upon us, as they often are, hurricanes and typhoons in the seas, then we tend to think that that's just what reality is, instead of realizing that we can drop below at 20 fathoms down below. You'd never know there was a vicious hurricane transpiring on the surface, and that is the advantage of going within. We talked about nothing and doing something for nothing, but the reality is, what's the use of anything?
Some have millions, some don't have a lot, but somehow we all make the best of what we've got. But when you've got nothing, things are really bad. They can't take away the things you never had. What you've never had, you're never gonna miss. That's what me old man said, and his philosophy was this. What's the use of anything when you don't have anything? What's the use of anything when you ain't got nothing at all? What's the use of anything when you don't have anything? What's the use of anything when you ain't got nothing at all? On a yacht, counting all the fivers and the tenors they have got. The yacht capsizes, everything is lost. 2 millionaires sit and count the cost. Up pops a mermaid to where they bob about. She whispers, join the club, see what it's like to go without. What's the use of anything
of anything when you ain't got nothing at all? What's the use of anything when you don't have anything? What's the use of anything when you ain't got nothing at all? My old dog, he never shall forget the day I decided to take him to the vet. My old dog is very, very sad, and you would be too if you had what he has had. He sits and licks his wounds and says it shouldn't be allowed. He went to see the bitch next door and this is all what he growled. What's the use of anything when you don't have anything? What's the use of anything?
Errol, dear, that was perfect. You picked such a perfect song for what we were talking about, Lord and I. Oh, my.
Well, did you have any more comments? Thank you.
Tell me what it was about. I mean, what's the name of that?
What's the Use of Anything by Richard Digance.
Oh.
D-I-G-A-N-C-E. Richard, forgive me. I know you're listening. So we want to thank
Sounds
Lady Umbridge.
It was very British, I think.
It was very British. Did you have anything more British perspective to share with us? I think Lord Umbridge has gone to the bathroom, which he does frequently, I've noticed.
The loo, yes.
Well, either way. Give him our thanks. Anything else you want to say before you take off?
Yes, right? We will take off. We just dropped in for a spot. Well, I think that if we deal with delusion, we have to be undiluted to deal with it. That's what I'll leave you with.
Thank you. That was Lady Umbridge of Lord and Lady Umbridge, familiar philosophic talents that we bring onto the show and who give us a perspective from across the ocean. And here we are trying to see if we can discern the valuable parts of delusion or if we need to recognize we're in delusion. What value is it to recognize that you are in delusion? For example, when I think of this friend of mine that I perceive as deluded, in other words, having an expectation that if he does A, B is going to happen, and it clearly never has, and it's unlikely that it ever will, is it of any use to even want to bring it up? Is it any of my business? You just watch. Is there a time and a place for intervention? Is intervention appropriate? How do you do intervention? And that it brings up all kinds of questions. I mean,
I really believe that there is an evolution that exists within each biological being, as well as the evolution of the planet and the evolution of the universe. And until we're ready to face something, the chances are really good that we won't. Because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink unless it's thirsty. And then it will drink. But until it craves the water, until it wants it, you can pull and push all you want, and it's not going to drink because horses have more sense than that.
Well, you know, for years I used to hear that phrase, you can drink a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And always I kept asking, well, why not? And you just answered the question. Because he isn't thirsty, of course. I don't know why that was so long in coming. But thank you.
You
dear.
Heard it here, folks.
Thank you.
You heard it here. There was one of those moments, moment
he's
happened right
thirsty.
Now on the show.
So what does it mean to be thirsty for authenticity? That would be my way of describing the state that's in some way transcends or.
Right, and the thing is,
delusion.
If you're thirsty for authenticity, you can't have an image of it. If you have an image of authenticity, you've got an image and you've got a delusional state of mind rather than an authentic state of mind, because authenticity comes out of just being, not trying to be, not attempting to achieve a level of being that is beyond who you are. It's just who you are.
Part of the challenge then for many of us is overcoming or somehow healing the part of us that believes and has acted out the delusion that we're not okay the way we are.
Exactly. And I think that's where it all starts. Where we create this delusional nature is because we're not okay the way we are. And if you're not accepted as a child by parents, by peers, you can start creating this delusion. You know, you start putting on an air or creating a sense of self that isn't real. And you can carry it off for a certain amount of time. And then somehow or other, it starts to evaporate. It starts to break down because it isn't real. And if you have any craving for honesty in your life, the cracks start appearing. And it's scary because that's how you've known yourself. This delusion that you've walked around with is how you know yourself. And when that starts cracking, who will you be if it's not there? I think that's why it's so hard for people to enter into the realm, the true realm of love, because there's no image in that realm. It's not definable. It's a mystery, because that God is the mystery, and we're becoming one with God and becoming one with love. And how can we define it? So who wants to go there when we are so enamored of the definitions we create for ourselves?
Delusional though they may be.
Delusional though they may be, which gets us to this program. There's the word delusion, there's the word illusion. Now, is a deluded person filled with illusions?
That's what we recommend.
So if you wish to be deluded, I would expect you to come up with great illusions to adhere to, or you, have them adhere to you.
And we'll tell you where you can get them, folks, tonight. Yes, you know where you can find some fabulous illusions that you'll be able to turn into delusions when we sell you this special secret recipe that we've got. But you know where the delusions can be found? In the world. So in many ways, you know, maybe we just need to get, you know, lost into this world.
Some mother's darling, some daddy's little girl, more precious than the ruby, more cherished than the pearl. My heart was full of mercy, and my voice.
I am lost.
That was Emmylou Harris singing Lost Into This World. And that's what brings us out of the delusion when we come up against calamity and affliction and loss. We just watched a wonderful movie, Life or Something Like It was the name of it, yes. I believe, with Angelina
Jolie
and Edward Burns and one of our favorite actors, Tony Shalhoub. He's a character actor.
Isn't he Shalhoub?
Shalhoub, yeah. He played Monk on a series, but he's done a lot of wonderful things. And in this particular movie, he's a prophet, and he projects that this woman's going to die in 4 days. And she's like, in many ways, a very deluded person. She's totally caught up in all the images of a career and the outer and the external, and facing and confronting what appears to her as her potential imminent demise, shakes her reality. And for many of us, it seems that's what it takes to shake us out of our delusion and to shake off the illusions that we tack onto ourselves, like slip-on tattoos. And we just need to let them go. And it reminds me of this passage that I read. It says, the greatest affliction is never to have been afflicted. And I can see that being the case, because if you're never confronted with affliction, then you could just persist in your delusion of all kinds of false things that aren't real and miss arriving at that place that is really the pièce de résistance of human striving, and that's the experience of compassion.
I know this is not necessarily about compassion towards others. I might have shared this once before on this program, where I spent a day very consciously not making plans and not planning on anything and not having any expectation, but just awakening to the day and allowing the day to move me from one thing to another. It was a day of total non-resistance, and I accomplished so much in that day. And I had no illusion about who I was or what I was doing even, other than I just wanted to not be moved by have-tos and shoulds. I wanted to be truly in the flow. I've experienced it many times before, and so what I can say to people, in order to get out of the delusion, or the illusion that creates the delusion, stop having expectations that have nothing to do with who you are.
That is beautiful. What a succinct way of doing that. So check out your expectations. Really just get honest with yourself and ask, you know, what do I expect as a result of this action that I'm taking or this choice that I'm making? And then stop and be very clear about what that expectation is, and then ask yourself the next question. Is that really who I am, or am I playing out an image of what I think it needs to be in order to perpetuate another image that's equally false but covered over by several other, whatever. The point is that you really be ruthlessly honest with ourselves in our way of releasing ourselves from the delusion, because the bottom line is the reality, which is love, whatever your delusion may offer you, it just doesn't hold a candle to the joy and the beauty of love and laughter and compassion and creativity that each of us can experience in our life if we're willing to wake up. And you can wake up with us again next week on our program. This is Inside Out. Go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org. Let me hear from you or see from you on an email, estrider@gmail.com. And we hope you have a blessed week. Join us next week, where we're going to talk about probably one of the most important things that you'll ever discover in your life.